The Biggest Blank Game Week is finally here, so let's see if we can shake the fear. We talk through free hit drafts, it's differential central, and don't worry, Jules has you covered if you're going without. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. I'm going to be honest, this was going to be a very different intro had the second half of Bournemouth versus Luton not happened yesterday. We were on course, weren't we, once again, for the most disappointing double game week. But it's a slightly happier record on this Thursday morning, isn't it, Sam Bonfield?
Yes, Kelly, my arrow was green this week and I am so happy about it. Honestly, what a couple of weeks it's been. But yeah, it was horrible. This game week over the weekend was just one of those. And particularly watching the Spurs game without Son or any Spurs players in my team, I was like, this game week is going to give me such a red arrow. Cole Palmer and KDB did their best to save it. And then that's a Barney goal. Oh my goodness. I've never celebrated a goal.
Me neither.
As much as I did that one. I was mid-conversation at the time and I was like, stop this conversation. I need to deal with this. Yeah, brilliant.
And Jules, you're pretty happy as well because you survived pretty well, didn't you, without any Bournemouth players?
I am happy. 55 points is a decent return, to be fair, even if I've got a small red arrow. But you were so lucky because I was watching that Bournemouth-Luton game and at halftime I was like, this is unreal. Still nothing for Solanke after his missed penalty at the weekend. My three Luton players, the two defenders returning at that time, obviously, and then they all went pear-shaped at the start of the second half. The only regret really I have this weekend is I thought long and hard about who to captain between Watkins and Son. It was one of the two. I changed many times, and then to tell you all the secrets, on the way to football for my middle one on Saturday morning, he had the phone in his hand and we were like, okay, what am I doing? And then I said, okay, go with Watkins. And if I'd captain Son, then it would have been an incredible week, really.
Hold on, are we finding out the secret to your success? You've actually got an assistant manager.
So my Maximilian, my middle one, who's 11, who plays also himself, of course, I can't obviously drive and, you know, good. Select my captain. Good, thank you very much. And then the armband was on Son. And then, I don't know, I had a feeling. I just thought Watkins would do really well at home. And for Son, I was not too sure. So, yeah, it's my only little regret.
I don't think you can have any regrets surviving without Bournemouth players. I mean, it could have been a lot better for you at halftime. Bournemouth owners, like myself, I did it again, didn't I? Last minute, bought him in, nearly went the whole hog and bought in Neto as well for -4. So I'm really glad I didn't. A few statistics for you on the game week that was. Dom Solanke was actually the most transferred in with 1,000,000. I always hate reading these long numbers. 1,021,585 new managers. And of course, the roller coaster, Jules, you must have been loving it on Saturday.
Incredible.
That missed penalty.
Oh, I raged.
And then Bournemouth conceded 2 in the first match of their double game week against Sheffield United. So people that bought in Solanke didn't get anything. Defenders didn't get anything either. But then, of course, that incredible game between Luton last night saw Semenyo owners. Shout out once again to our producer, Jesse, who said that he wanted Semenyo to equalise in our WhatsApp. He then equalised. Then he said he tried it again and said, I want him to score the winner. And then he scored the winner. So Jesse definitely won't cut this out of the podcast. You need to maybe come on here as a guest at some point because you seem to be able to predict the future as well. Outside of Bournemouth then, double game week for Luton, not great, Sam?
No, and I think...
Unless you were a fullbacker. Actually, I take that back because I put it in our WhatsApp group as well. You guys were chair people of the Doughty fan club. You finally got some returns and the fullback seemed to be where the points were at, really.
Yeah, and we talked and Ian obviously shouted out Chong last week and I was talking about Ross Barkley and they both got returns in this one. I think if you went Morris, you were unlucky really not to get something given that they scored 3 goals in that one. You would have expected him to be part of it. But yeah, Luton... It wasn't the best of double game weeks really for them, was it? But then having said that, if you did bring them in last week, you've probably done it with a view to the fact that they play in 29 as well. So maybe it's not
Jules
the end
that,
of the world.
Jules, you bought in Morris. In fact, you were on the Luton triple up.
Yeah, because I thought if I take a -4, may as well have a player with a double game week because I mean, you know, that it's obviously less of a hit than -4. So Mengi came in and could have done well, to be fair to him, in that second game. It was just not meant to be. But yeah, Morris and Doughty were the other two Luton players. I never thought in my whole life ever that I would be trebling up on Luton players. But, you know, I took a bit of a gamble this week. And to be fair, 55 points again is not bad. So I'm kind of happy.
You like mentioning your points tally, don't you?
But surely I can't have beaten you this week with three Luton players in my team who like lost their two
You
games.
Didn't. You didn't beat me because you took. Okay. You got 55 with a minus four. You got 51 and I got 54. True. It's a small okay. win, but it's a win. And I'm going to take it. I think Sam beat us both though because Sam did. Yes, I think you got 60, didn't you, with a minus four. So 56, yeah.
It's nice to win the league for a week anyway. It's been a long time
since that
happened.
It's your first time this season.
Oh, Jules, that's not true. But it's a long time since I won this league for a game week.
Yeah, Ian, for those of you wondering, got 53 points as well. So
can
yeah,
we mention that
week.
I'm back above Ian, please? Can we yes, can yeah. we clear that up?
And that's the reason Ian isn't on this week. yeah, there's a whole point between the two of you again, but you are
yes.
above him.
Brilliant. That's all I need. 1 point's all that matters.
Yeah, outside of the double game weeks, Jarrod Bowen was actually the most transferred in. Sam, that was your transfer, wasn't it? You're rolling your eyes at me. You were one of 4,000, told you I'm not very good with long numbers, 795 managers, and he blanked.
Yeah, and I was not happy about it because I was a straight choice between him and Son, and one of them was coming in and the other one was going to wait a week and just come in on the free hit. And in the end, I wasn't entirely sure how Spurs would do against Aston Villa away, to be honest. I wasn't very confident about that game. And Bowen had the nicest fixture on paper against Burnley at home. And I was kind of like, well, why don't we just play the fixture for this week? Look, if Son does well, I'm going to be happy about it anyway, because the Spurs fan in me will come out and that'll be all right. But when he had his two assists, I was like, this is fine. This is all fine. Bowen still, you know, got a chance to do something in his game. That goal right at the end, I was like, oh, this has upset me greatly. But yeah, it's just an unfortunate one with Bowen. I still think it was a reasonable pick. Particularly when they score two goals and he gets nothing. That's just annoying.
Really annoying, isn't it? If you see two goals, you think surely there's got to be some kind of involvement. But that's FPL, as is the fact that Stupinian and Porro were two of the most sold defenders ahead of game week 28. Yep, Spurs and Brighton were the only sides that delivered clean sheets. FPL really is FPLing at the moment, it feels like. Anyway, that's how our game week was. We're all pretty happy, even if I needed four more points to get a green arrow, so another red arrow for me. As for the mini league, Jules, if it wasn't for your Solanke and the captaincy blank, it would have been a green arrow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, as we said, still a good game week for you. Red arrow of 7%. Sam's put here, no Spurs hurt.
Hurt us both, didn't it?
It really did. And if I hadn't had a double game week fever, I probably would have bought in Son as well. It's just what these double game weeks do to us. Sam, as we said, has gone back above Ian, got her green arrow,
yes.
although a very small one, but it doesn't matter. No Spurs hurt her as well. And you did sell Gross, who returned. Ian got a small red arrow. No Palmer hurt for him. And he also sold Kevin De Bruyne, which I thought was interesting because he said that Kevin De Bruyne always returns in the big games. So I thought it was interesting that he sold him. And he was proved to be true. As for the FPL Pod Mini League, we've got a new leader at the top. Stefan and his team, Efki Kolonija, sorry if I've not pronounced that right, scored 63 points for the week with both of his transfers coming up. Trumps, Son and Doughty both got attacking returns. Amia, who was top, has gone to third. He got 47 points. He brought in three Luton players. Two of those, though, did return. Oise sits second after a 70-point return in 28. And Charlie Taylor to Zabania, that's a good transfer, went very well and probably suggests they are planning to free hit next week. Talking of free hitting, it's going to be a popular week this week because, of course, game week 29 is the one we've all been pretty scared about. The biggest blank so far this season, just four matches being played on Saturday. It's Burnley versus Brentford, Luton versus Nottingham Forest, then Fulham versus Spurs. Then on Sunday is West Ham versus Aston Villa. This is where Jules's talent, planning, hard work, whatever the excuses you give for your good season come in.
Talent and planning, always.
How many players are you on? Because of course you have used your free hit. So we'll start with you, someone that isn't using that chip.
Yes, so I have currently, let me count. I mean, it's an easy count. Because
I'm surprised you don't know this already.
Surely you've counted already. It's about 2 months.
I wanted to make a joke. That's why. So it's an easy count. It's only six.
Sorry, I've got to laugh.
It's only six of them. But now, so one free transfer, 7, 1 minus 4, 8. If I go a bit more into my talent and planning, I get a minus 8 and get another one. But I think I'd be happy with 8 players as long as, like Sam always says, as long as you have the right ones in your 8 that are playing, of course.
Yeah, is 8 all right, Sam? For me, that was prior to me doing my Bournemouth panic transfers before the deadline. I was building to have eight players, and that was what I felt comfortable with.
Yeah, I think there are five essential players this week. As long as you got those five and then a couple of others, I think you'll be fine. So I'd argue that you probably could play through with seven. So I actually would have had seven, but obviously the Mickey van der Ven injury has caused me some issues anyway. So because I did still ponder on just playing through it this week, but I have not got any. I've got two of the five that I'd say are really important, and I'd have to take minus eight plus to get the others. So yeah, I think if you've got seven or eight and it includes the five key assets, then you're probably fine.
How many hits are okay? Because a lot of managers are going to be having a similar kind of conundrum to Jules there. Mm. And part of the reason I'm just going to free hit is because you know I love a late transfer and I love a late free hit, and I'm worried I'll be tempted into too many. I feel like a minus four is probably all right, but surely if you get to minus eight, minus 12, you're in the territory of you're potentially not going to make up the points.
I think with the defenders, you probably won't, because there's not that many clean sheets this weekend. But with the attackers, there's plenty of potential. So I think if you're on a, like if you're talking about a minus four for Son or Madison or Bowen or somebody along Tony, somebody along those lines, you would hope that you would easily get those 4 points back. I think probably a minus eight is where I'd go to and not beyond. I think a minus 12 feels too much.
Into it?
I think a minus 15 is probably where you'd go. No, I think eight is probably the top limit. I don't think I'd take a minus 12 because I'm not sure that there are enough assets that you would need to go to a minus 12 and be fairly confident of a return on.
Okay, so there you go, Jules. If you go to your minus eight, Sam thinks it's all right.
No, I know.
And doesn't listen to what I think.
No, I'm really tempted by the minus eight just to get another one. And like we said, it's always picking the right one. So you won't know until the end of the weekend, obviously. But yeah, if you go for Ivan Toney, for example, as your last one and that costs you another extra minus four, I think it might well be worth it, you know, where Burnley. So you do it thinking like this is safe in a way, or yeah, should be safe. And to be fair, like we've said before, the teams will be so, so, so similar this week. Even if you play your free hit, you will have Son, Bowen, Watkins, Madison, and Toney. Mostly, you would expect those five to be 80% owned this weekend, maybe even more than that.
More probably, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so let's talk about these essentials then. So I was trying to work it out as you said that, Sam. So the five essentials I'm presuming we're going to say, Jules has just mentioned them.
Mm. Yep.
Watkins, Toney, Son, Madison, Bowen. Are they the five you were going to say?
They're the five.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're the five that you need. And I've only got Watkins and Bowen of those. I haven't got the two Spurs players and I haven't got Toney either. So, and I think they're going to be the decisions that people are making. It's like, well, how do I get these players in? Who am I sacrificing in order to be able to get them in? Because they're also players that, like, if you're doing what Jules is doing, but you aren't planning to wildcard straight out of it, you could keep them, because obviously Spurs come out of game week 29 into the game against Luton in 30. So arguably, if you're taking a minus four for Spurs asset this week, you've then got them in play for your game week 30 team where they've got a really nice fixture. You can hold Bowen, you can hold Toney. Like these aren't players that you would be bringing in and then immediately going, why am I investing in these players? So you could hold them slightly more longer term if that's your strategy. So I think those are the five. I think there are other assets then. The third Spurs, that's much more contentious who it is. And I think taking the minus four for one of the other Spurs players is much more risky. But for those two, it looks likely to pay off.
Okay then. So let's kind of talk about a free hit team, because how many chips are active at the moment, Sam? You'll know this.
553,302.
We expect that to go up, don't we?
Yeah, so it's been rising a lot. So on Monday morning, there were 218,961 when I first started writing the script for this. So that's risen dramatically. This is already the biggest number of free hits that we've had played in a week this season. The last biggest was when Jules played it, which was back in game week 26. And there were 365,000 managers just over that who played their free hit chip. And actually, I look back at last season and there was only one game week last season where there was more chips played than this. And there was nearly 700,000 that week, 695,000. So it's going to be a big week for free hits. I would expect with the press conferences on Friday that we'll see more of them. And also, I think, you know, the likes of us, we look at our teams constantly all the time. And it took a big jump last night when the game week ended. People obviously logging in to see how their team did and then seeing they've only got three, four, five players and making that decision. And I suspect that will happen on Friday again, that we'll see another big wave of managers hitting the button.
Okay, so let's talk through. Jules, I feel like I'm excluding you a lot from this. I'm not meaning to.
No.
It's only because your free hit isn't active.
Yeah.
But we can kind of talk through your team as we go through. If we look at a free hit, Jules, if you were on free hit, let's just imagine, who would be the goalkeeper that you would be targeting this week? And of course, you can have two goalkeepers because your free hit gives you a whole new squad.
Yeah, I think I would go for Flecken, really, away at Burnley. I know it's an away game, and I know maybe defensively Brentford haven't been as strong as they've been in the past or last season, and they have been struggling this season overall anyway. But on his day, as we've seen before, it can be amazing. I think Burnley will try to play because that's what they do, which will suit Brentford massively. And yeah, Flecken will have maybe a few saves to do, but you would expect him to make them. So of all the keepers, and because Areola plays Villa and because Martinez plays West Ham, away at West Ham as well, this is a bit tricky. Otherwise, you could have gone Areola or Martinez without a doubt. I think Flecken looks to me like the best pick really for a goalkeeper with Matt Sells at Forest, who are aware Luton, maybe just below him.
Do you agree, Sam? Is that who you're going to be looking at?
I was dreading you asking me about goalies because, you know, goalies
are me. Last straight person. Face as well, yeah.
I know you did. The last person to ask. They're my nemesis this season. So I think the defence and the goalies are the hardest spots to fill this time around. And I also think that it's worth mentioning that some of the goalkeepers that are actually good options for this week, like somebody like maybe Vicario, you're probably not going there because you can use the Spurs assets better elsewhere. So you have to think about that when you're thinking about who the best goalkeepers are. So of the goalkeepers that play this week, Fulham have kept the most clean sheets with Leno. So in terms of clean sheets, you maybe could look at that. But then he's coming up against Spurs, who aren't likely to not score in that one. So I think that rules him out. Then it's Villa, Spurs. But again, as George said, I don't think you're going Martinez against West Ham and you're not going to use your Spurs spot on Vicario. When you think about goals conceded, is Vicario of the goalkeepers that have conceded the least? Kaminski has made the most saves, then Areola, then Trafford. So if you're looking at potential upside, because I don't think there's any real clean sheet potential this week. So you've got to look at the upside potential. So who's likely to get save points? Who's likely to pick up some bonus points because of their involvement? I tend to agree. Like in my free hit team at the moment, I've got Flecken as my goalkeeper of choice. It does a little bit depend on what I decide to do with the front line, because I've also got Reggie on, and we'll talk about defenders in a minute, in my free hit team, and obviously Tony, but there is an opportunity, I think, for another Brentford attacker as well in that fixture. So I think Flecken will be my goalkeeper, but I think you basically make your goalkeeper decision almost last. You pick the other players that you want, and then you see who you've got availability to pick a goalkeeper from, and then you pick the best one of that bunch.
Okay, I'll be doing that. Defenders then, if we're looking at upside, Sam, where are you going for your upside defenders? Spurs firstly, surely.
No, I haven't got a Spurs defender in my free hit team at the moment.
What? Are you feeling all right?
But no, I've got three attackers and that's the problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because I think you have to look at where the upside lies most with the teams. And with the way that Spurs are playing at the moment, I appreciate that they got a clean sheet. So saying that they're not that good defensively on the back of a clean sheet against Aston Villa is ridiculous. However, that was the first clean sheet since game week 17 for them. So it's not like they're consistently keeping clean sheets. Now, obviously, there's plenty of upside for somebody like Porro, for a Udogie, if you want to go there, because they've got the attacking threat. Or you could just go with one of the extra attacking players in general from Spurs and maybe have an even greater attacking threat. Reggie on is probably the one that I'm looking at as my most expensive, probably, defender. Okay. And the one with potentially the most upside. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it? About a 4.4 million defender, that's probably going to be one of my most premium defenders on a free hit. They've kept four clean sheets this season. I've just been talking about how Flecken's probably the best pick of the goalkeepers, and therefore with clean sheet potential, I suppose that you add that in there. There's obviously a slight doubt over him, although it does suggest that he's probably going to be fine after he missed out with a hamstring injury last week out. Porro's got the most attempts on goal of the defenders he plays, well, actually of all the defenders, but of the ones that play in 29. He's had 37 of those. And then Matt Cash is next with 31. So potential there that you go for Cash. But again, playing against West Ham, don't think there's really a clean sheet. This is where it's tough with the defenders this week.
Okay, Jules, where could we find points then in defence?
Yeah, I agree with Sam. I mean, I think you can always go for attacking fullbacks. So Luca Digne, Villa, for example, Cash, we just mentioned. You can go for Soufal, for example, too, if you think that, you know, West Ham could score. Don't believe too much into the clean sheet points, but in terms of attacking returns, there are defenders there that can maybe bring you that. But it's a tricky one, because even the Fulham Spurs game, really, in terms of the defense, the two defenses, you could easily see both teams scoring.
I agree.
And both teams conceding. So it's a bit tricky. I would think that Brentford, again, away at Burnley, is maybe safe, a bit safer than the rest, but you could easily go for an attacking fullback.
Okay. Doughty, of course. He's got to stay.
That was going to be my next question. So George has gone big on the Luton defence already in anticipation of this game week. Doughty is someone that people probably brought in, or Ian said he brought it in for this game week, but I think Ian will free hit now as well from what he was saying. Sam, is he going to stay in your free hit team?
Yeah. Actually, there's only, four players that are staying of my original team, and he's one of them. He's got the most attacking returns of the defenders with a fixture in 29. And actually, when you look at the defenders in total, his 10 attacking returns is only beaten by Kieran Trippier this season. So you've got to look at upside for defenders this week. It's the only way to kind of try and guarantee some points, because the clean sheets aren't necessarily there. So yeah, I think he is one of the best options, and I'll be starting him this week as well.
And after what happened in midweek at Bournemouth, I mean, Luton, this game against Forest as well, you know, they are home, so you would expect them to be very much on the front foot.
Okay, Sam, who else in your free hit defensively?
So at the moment, I've got Doughty, I've got Reguilón, Murillo, Digne, and then obviously the legend that Charlie Taylor is. Charlie Taylor stays. He's going to sit
staying
on the bench. Yeah, he's sit on the bench. I think they're on...
Forward to, no offence to him, but I'm looking forward to not having him for
I kind of feel like with Charlie Taylor, I owe it to him to keep him forever now, throughout everything that happens with the rest of the season. He's a player that I just looked at him and was like, yeah, I've got like 12 million or something in the bank with this free hit team. So he could be literally anybody.
But you're keeping him as yourself.
But himself. I'm probably going to keep him, because I'm kind of like, well, is there another defender that I really like more? He's going to sit third sub. The chances of me ever needing him are so small. I'm tripled up on most of the teams anyway that I think are decent. So I don't know. I just think Charlie Taylor can just be there and come along for the ride.
I'm not sure I've spent so much time talking about your third sub on your free hit, to be honest. Okay. So, and Jules, what is your defence currently looking like?
My two Luton boys that I love dearly, Doughty and
Standing
Mengi.
Strong at the back, holding the team up.
Holding the fort.
Jules wishes he had Charlie Taylor for
this
week.
Is there anyone else, where Sam's mentioned there, is there anyone else that you would have looked at this week as well if you were picking a free hit team?
The only thing I was thinking is maybe a West Ham defender, like centre-back. We don't know if, I think, Zuma, Mavropanos, Aged. So one of them, simply because of the threat on set pieces, and we know West Ham are good on set pieces with Ward-Prowse taking them, or they're usually quite good. So this is the only thing, really, if you think again about defenders that can bring you attacking points, because that's what it will be. That was the only thing else that I thought of preparing for the show, is if you wanted to go for one of the centre-backs at West Ham, just for that reason, it might not be a bad idea either.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to try and have a Spurs defender. That's the only real difference, just because I just really like Pedro Porro and I've always wanted to own him. If I can own him for this one week.
That's a good pick, Steve.
Yeah. He's a good pick. He's of the defenders who play this week, he's the one that's got the most FPL points with 94. After him, it's Romero with 86, Doughty with 84, Robinson from Fulham with 74, and then Emerson from West Ham with 73.
Oh, okay, interesting. Come on then, midfield, where it feels like there's a little bit more potential competition.
Yeah, I think for me, this was the most difficult of the spots in my team to fill, these five, because there are actually quite a few that I would quite like to have this week. I think we've mentioned that we think Son, Madison and Bowen are non-negotiables, so they obviously went in first. But the other two spots, I think, are a bit more kind of contentious, because Leon Bailey, I think, is a decent option. I really, really like Brennan Johnson. And so I think for me, that's
where... Is he your
where,
third Spurs player?
He's my third Spurs player,
I was trying to... When you said that, I was trying to work out who it could possibly be, because obviously Son and Madison, Richarlison isn't fit. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah. So I had in my mind, heading into the Aston Villa game at the weekend, that he was the Spurs player that I was most interested in watching because he was the one that I saw as being the best potential differential for my free hit team. He's owned by less than 1% of the game, or he was last night anyway when I was doing my notes for this. He's returning three of the last four and actually was quite unlucky when he came on against Wolves not to get something in that one. Six assists and four goals this season. And he's one of only four Spurs players to be directly involved in more than 10 Premier League goals so far this season. Obviously, the other three are Son, Richarlison and Maddison. Now, there is some risk of rotation. We've seen that in recent weeks where he's come off the bench. But when he's come off the bench, he's actually done incredibly well and deserved his start against Villa. And I thought was absolutely excellent in that game against Villa at the weekend. So I was watching him like, yeah, this is perfect. This is exactly what you want on a free hit, right? So yeah, I could play it safe and just go for Pedro Porro. But I don't think Spurs will clean sheet against Fulham. So why not play the upside potential and go with a midfielder who's in fantastic form in a Spurs team that love to attack. So for me, he was midfielder number four. And then the fifth one, there's so many potential options. At the moment, it's Kudus from West Ham because I think that him and Bowen together is a nice combination. But it does mean all five midfielders...
Spurs and West Ham.
Are Spurs and West Ham, yeah.
Just that always unnerves me a little bit doing that. It's like I don't really like having two, particularly defenders from the same team. So obviously if you clean sheet, if they concede, your clean sheet goes twice. But it also makes me feel quite uneasy because you need them to score a lot of goals to potentially get the points. Or you just, I guess the other way you look at it this week is you think they're going to be the highest scoring teams and that gives you the most chance of covering to ensure you get their returns. Is that your thinking?
Yeah. But also I think I probably would have gone for an Aston Villa midfielder. That was the original plan. It was three Spurs.
I've got Leon Bailey at the moment. Is it?
Yeah. That was my original plan. It was three Spurs, one West Ham in Bowen and then Leon Bailey. They were the five that I was aiming for. And I still might go there. Like that still might be the way that I do it. Spread the love a little bit. But the John McGinn red card last week has put me off investing in Aston Villa because I just... The formation that they played against Spurs, I don't think they play that against West Ham. I don't think that they go for a kind of sit back at the beginning of the game like they did against us. I also expect that it won't necessarily be so difficult for them because they'll obviously won't be down to 10 men again. But the John McGinn factor is definitely playing a part because I do worry about the leadership in that midfield without him. I do worry about how quickly they'll move the ball forward and connect between the back line and Ollie Watkins up top. So it has put me off Leon Bailey, even though his underlying numbers are actually good. And when you have a little look at attacking returns this season, obviously Son's got the most of the midfielders that play, but then it's Bailey and Bowen next with 17 each. So if you're looking at the underlying numbers, a midfield of the Spurs players, maybe not Johnson, that's just a differential pump, but Bowen and Bailey is the obvious choice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Bailey a lot. He's someone I've wanted to aim for quite a while and I'm using this free hit in a way to kind of give people a few auditions to go in my team longer term, I think, because of course still got the wild card as well. Jules, anyone else that you think managers should be considering in midfield?
Yeah, Douglas Luiz, I think. But again, you know, it's only if you want to spread the love a bit, like we're saying, because you could easily go, you know, two Spurs, two West Ham. Kudus is a great shout, as well as Bowen. Son and Maddison, for example. And then for the fifth one, I think Douglas Luiz could be interesting because he's on penalties, we've said that, set pieces, and Villa could be good on set pieces. That really the only one. Otherwise, everything that Sam said makes a lot of sense. Leon Bailey makes a lot of sense too, I think. And also, after being spanked by Spurs like Villa did, they need to react now. And it's not an easy game to go away to West Ham this weekend, but they have... Even without McGinn, even without Kamara, of course, they've got a few issues there in midfield, but still, they have to react. And also, they don't have their destiny in their own hands anymore because Spurs have a game in hand, and if they win that, they go above them in fourth place. So they really need a reaction. And I think this West Ham Villa game could be really open, more than what could happen in normal circumstances. So you could have goals, I think, for both of them. So if you want to go Bowen, Kudus, Bailey, Douglas Luiz, whatever, this is right to do.
Who's the better option, Sam, out of Douglas Luiz and Leon Bailey, would you say, if you do want that Villa midfielder?
Bailey's better away from home. Douglas Luiz is better at home. That plays a factor. So obviously they're away from home this week. I do worry slightly that Douglas Luiz might play a little bit deeper without McGinn being there, and that might affect his attacking play. But as Jules says, he's got penalties, and that shouldn't be forgotten about when you're making these decisions. Personally, because it's an away fixture, I'd go Bailey if I was going to go for a Villa mid. But it's a tight decision.
Yeah, it does feel very tight. I'm asking that for a friend, aka my own team. I was edging towards Leon Bailey, but Douglas Luiz, yeah, he's an interesting option as well. The front three for me, there is kind of only one front three. And
really?
I've seen it on a lot of people's drafts. Okay, maybe we're going to disagree on this. Okay, so Watkins and Tony.
The two for sure.
And maybe there'll be some differentials in that third forward spot.
So who's your third, Kelly?
As it stands, Carlton Morris, because they've got Forest at home and I think Luton need to win.
Yeah. That's my front three, by the way.
Yeah, but that's more because you've already got him.
But still.
Who have you got, Sam? Because I can tell from your face you've got someone different.
I did have Morris. That was my first pick. And then I don't trust the Spurs defence at all to keep a clean sheet against Fulham. And so I do quite like the Muniz pick. And I think for me...
You can't bring him in because he was Jules' differential. That's a reason enough not to bring him in.
Remember, well, differential is not just for Christmas.
It's like a puppy, right?
Yeah.
You gotta keep them. I think for me, Carlton Morris is the obvious pick. He's the pick that the non-free hitters will have.
Are you trying to go a bit... I feel like you're trying to go a bit rogue with this free hit.
It's an opportunity.
In a good way. Yeah, in
it's
a good
an opportunity.
Way. Like you're chasing the upside, which I really like.
Upside chase. Safe. Yeah. I think that's the thing with a free hit. You have to upside chase with a free hit. What's the point if you don't? Like, you so cover out those five, the five key ones, yeah. But then the others, like that means
that's where I wish I wasn't such a safe sheep-like player.
But the thing is, you've got 11 players, Kels, right? That you can go, okay, well, I've covered the five big ones that everyone's going to have. I've got six spots now where I can have some fun. And the reality is, like, I'm not going to get rid of, like, Doty. I'm not going to, like, there's not going to be massive changes there. But then there's one or two spots, the Johnson spot, the Kudo spot, the third forward, where you can have a bit of fun with it. The other thing is, if I go for that heavy midfield five, I have to bench one of the forwards anyway, which I'm not thrilled about. I'd like the all-out attack chip to play at the same time as this, like we used to have.
Those are the days.
That's
I know,
the thing.
Right?
Do you play five? Yeah, 3-5-2, or do you play, you know, your 3-4-3?
Yeah, exactly. So I quite like the idea of having a different third forward, because I agree with what you said about Morris and Luton needing to win that one, but I don't know. I just think that there's some good upside to chase in that third spot.
Jules, if you weren't welded already to Carlton Morris, what would you do?
No, I think again, you can see the way Sam sees it. I think Awoniyi for Forest might be a decent pick. I think there's the other striker at Brentford, whether that's Wissa or Mope. And the problem is we don't know who it might be. Mope was in great form, but then was benched against Arsenal where Wissa scored. Even if it's a very special goal, it's still a goal. It still counts in the same way.
It's a present.
Yeah. So I don't know if you go Wissa or Mope, but that could be interesting. But then again, we go back to the same dilemma that we had earlier, is that if you have Tony and Wissa, for example, or just two Brentford strikers and Brentford don't do that well, then you've put all your eggs in the same basket. So it might be interesting to not double up on Brentford attackers, for example. So I don't know. The third one is a difficult one. And to be fair, if I was free hitting, I would go five in midfield and only two up front, which would be Tony and Watkins. So
that's
whether my third would be Morris, Awoniyi, Wissa, whoever, it wouldn't count because it would be my first sub, fair enough. So you need to pick because you never know. But I would go heavy in midfield because I think those five in midfield would be so key this week.
Yeah, this is an interesting pick actually, Sam, isn't he? Because Andy mentioned that on the off the bench earlier this week. Do you think people will be tempted to go there?
Yeah, when Andy and I did off the bench together on Tuesday, we had a long conversation about the Brentford attack. And I think for me, like actually, if you look at the underlying stats for the last 2 weeks, Wissa beats Tony in pretty much all areas. He beats him for XG. He beats him for minutes per chance. Wissa has had an attempt every 20.6 minutes in comparison to just over 90 minutes for Tony. So there is a substantial difference in their underlying stats in the last 2 weeks. So if you were really brave, you might be tempted to go with him over Tony if you only wanted one.
Of course, it's not for managers like me, that, is it?
But it's not for the... exactly. You've got to be brave to do that. But doubling up can work. It's just, as Jules says, how many eggs do you want to put in each basket? Now, in reality, on a free hit, you have to, because we only have eight teams to choose from. So you have to pick from the teams that we think have got the best opportunity. So you're likely to treble up on Spurs. You're likely probably to be at least doubled up on Aston Villa and West Ham attacks. probably the same for Brentford. And if there's word that Mbeumo's back, then that might also create some havoc in free hit teams as people look to upside chase and bring in differentials. But I think there's scope for the double up. It's just, do you want to spread the love a little bit in that front line?
Okay, before we move on to differentials of the week, hopefully that's given you guys a good idea of what you're going to do with your free hit. I just wanted to mention that some people won't be free hitting, like Jules, and will potentially have some surgery to do to their team. There's been a couple of big injuries in midfield the last couple of weeks, Jota being one. And then this week we saw Anthony Gordon limp off as well. A lot of people will have dealt with Jota. Anthony Gordon's going to be a headache for a lot of managers as well, Sam. If managers were maybe trying to make a transfer for him, who would you recommend at the moment? Someone like Bowen or Son?
Yeah, it's such a shame, isn't it? Because actually the fixtures coming out of the blank for Newcastle are exactly... He was one of the ones that I was like, when our wild card, 100% I'm getting Gordon back. So we'll have
I've
to
kept
just
him
see.
This whole time knowing that these fixtures are on the horizon.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And I think we'll obviously wait for an update, but I think you can sell him this week for sure now. And I think you have to look at those five. So you have to look at, if you don't have Son, he would be the priority number one. If you have already got Son, or you can't afford, because there's a big jump to go from Gordon up to Son, then I'd have a look at Madison or Bowen. And I think you just do the one that you can afford. If you can't afford to go even that high, then you can have a look at like Pakatar or Kujos or somebody like that, because they are in that cheaper price point, or Brennan Johnson. But if you're playing through and not wildcarding, then looking at Spurs also makes sense because of the fixture straight after against Luton.
Okay, on to differentials of the week then. It feels like Sam's whole team's going to be filled with those this week. A reminder of how you guys got on last week. Unfortunately, Ian isn't here this week because you two flopped. Moona's got 2 points. Jules, congratulations
on
that
bump.
Yeah,
they played great.
Oh, good, so good.
He will return this week coming up.
Sam,
in my team.
If you take out the fact that Morris played 2 games, 4 points looks like a return, but alas, it was actually just 2 points per game.
Yeah, that doesn't count in the spreadsheet. I don't want, like, you know, that doesn't count.
No, it's, I've made it red in the spreadsheet. Don't worry, I'm not cheating.
Well, Ian's got a big green, though, on the spreadsheet, hasn't he? Because he did pick Chong, got 11 points for the goal and a bonus against Bournemouth, and Ian was very much enjoying that in the WhatsApp chat. who are we going for then, you two, in game week 29? You need to claw back some pride here. Go on, Jules.
So I've picked Brennan Johnson. That's Sam was lyrical about earlier, and rightly so. He was owned last night by 0.9% of the managers. It would cost you 5.8 million. So, I mean, we said you'll have a lot of money left on your free hit if you're free hitting anyway. If you're not, I think it's a transfer that is really worth doing. Great differential. His form has been great, returning 3 of the last 4. Actually, even I think 5 of the last 7 or something like that. He's been pretty good. His form is 5.7 points. And as we said, in this very attacking Spurs side, of course, him up front with Madison and Son has worked really, really well lately. So Brennan Johnson.
Has he stolen yours, Sam?
Nah. I said to her before.
Okay, I'm glad that you did discuss it for us.
Yeah. So just before you came on, Jules asked me who mine was. He said he's mine, and I had a spare because yet again last night as I was making my notes, I was like, he will 100%. I don't know what it is about us at the minute. We keep picking the same player.
Alike, you know, great minds, planning and talent.
We've spent too much time with each other, probably.
Kelly's not really in that conversation, but you and I.
Wow, that was a shot. He was, but I had a second, so I'll pick my second, who I've just been talking about, and that's Rodrigo Muniz from Fulham. And I know you had him last week, Jules, and I know he blanked for you.
I was like, hold on, I know you made the rules of this, but is Jules allowed to go for someone? Are you allowed to go for someone that Jules?
Yeah, because I haven't had him. That's the rule that we've had. And really? Given I've just given up my Brennan
Johnson.
Also,
Sam, do you not feel there should be a few weeks in between?
No.
Yeah.
Not this week. I
don't take Jules' side that often. But...
Kelly, come on now. He's just said that you're not part of this cool club of people.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know.
I'm all right because I know I'm above you and Ian in the league, so I'm fine. He can say whatever he wants.
Well, I'm going for him anyway. I think, you know, since he's been really good since game week 23. He's scored 5 goals, got an assist in the last 6 matches, and in that time got 44 points. And I think, you know, when you think about the number of shots that he's had 24 shots from inside the box. That's more than any other player in fantasy in that period of time. So good opportunities to score goals. Coming up against a Spurs defence that haven't been solid, as I mentioned, 1 clean sheet since game week 17, and that was against 10-man Aston Villa. When you consider that Spurs haven't just been leaky, they've conceded at least twice in 5 of their last 7. So there's opportunity there for more than one goal. And I think that's the key if you're picking a differential this week. And this is why on a free hit, I'm going to go with him in the third forward spot, I think, because there's an opportunity there for it to be more than just the one return. Because if Fulham score, I would expect him to be part of that.
Okay. We will have to give Jules a little bit of credit.
No.
There, that difference.
Yeah, we will.
It's not for, well, then can I have some credit if Brennan Johnson goes off?
What do you want credit for?
For having him as well.
Okay, guys, on to captaincy. Who's the best option for this week? Jules, you've got about four players to pick from. So Sam, you can go first.
Yeah. It was going to be Ollie Watkins. Up until the weekend, Ollie Watkins would have been my captain.
No?
But it's got to be Son now. I think it has to be.
Surely.
I think the fact that he's a midfielder as well, so more points for the goals and things like that. And obviously, if Spurs keep another clean sheet, then there'd be a clean sheet point. It's a nice fixture. I think there is a little bit of me that goes, well, if you're going out there on a free hit, why not go a little bit rogue? And I think you could go for somebody else. Like, actually, James Maddison's record away from home is really good. He's got nine returns away from home in 8 matches this season. So he's more consistent away from home, but Son has the potential for the bigger bang, I guess. Like, he could do much better, I think. So Son, boring.
I mean, I think the other one is Bowen, potentially, because he's at home. I like captain being at home for obvious reasons. And I think Villa will have, you would think, still the high line or play, because we said they have to react, they have to win. And that could potentially be very good for West Ham and the way they play, the way Bowen plays. So if you don't want Son, because everybody will captain Son, I think, then maybe Bowen is the best options of the rest.
Okay, transfers, Sam. We know you're making a lot of transfers. We know I'm making a lot of transfers. We know Jules is still a bit on the fence. Just confirm for us what you're thinking of doing, Jules.
So Tony and Bowen for sure with the -4. One free transfer,
who's
one minus
going?
Four. I mean, it doesn't care so much because I'm dead-ending anyway. So players who are not going to play. So Saka.
Haaland.
Yeah, Saka and Foden, for example. Saka and Haaland, sorry. And then if I go for -8, it would probably be Maddison, I would think, Palmer or Foden or someone.
And so you're going to be wildcarding this time next week. We'll be discussing your wildcard.
That's right.
Okay. That's
I can't wait to hear his wildcard.
Why?
Just this is
a big point
talent
in your season.
Because it's massive. This is massive now.
It's bigger than usual.
And that's very true, Kelly. That's very true. But again, from the beginning, all the talent and planning put into this FPL season, this is what I thrive for, really, as as a top 3K manager in the world. So it will be fun. And I will need your help, obviously, as I always do.
You won't take
maybe
my
not
help,
so much yours, but Sam's for sure. No, but it'd be great. And to be fair, with what it would be, 9 games to go, 10 games to go, depending if your team plays this weekend or not. But it might not be a bad time anyway to play your wildcard at this time with some doubles coming, some blanks coming as well. After the FA Cup weekend, this weekend we will have a decent idea of who will have to play and when and things like that. So it'd be fun to do.
Yeah. Okay, it will be fun. And this is where we see if Jules can win FPL. Can he do it?
No probably pressure.
All right, well, on that note, Jules, best of luck getting through with your -8 or whatever you
just
take.
Just surviving this weekend for me, surviving.
As Sam said, you can take a -12, you can take a -16 if you want.
She even said a -15, I think. I didn't want to call her on. Yeah,
no,
you
I
said
did say,
15.
To be fair,
you
I
said
did.
15.
And I know... And I noticed that, and then I thought...
But we know you can't count anyway.
Terrible
math.
Apparently,
time,
I can't count, no.
Yeah. I was about to call you up for bad maths, and I thought on this podcast numerous times we've seen I don't have any maths ability, so I'm just going to gloss over it. But Jules, just take as many points as hits as you want, because we need to catch you. Sam, the best of luck. I'm determined to make our free hits different.
For once.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go a little bit rogue, I think, with mine. So
and
if you play it
so
safe, then we'll be different.
Okay, well, on that note, I've got a lot of planning to do. Shame I haven't got any talent to go with it. Jules, have a good weekend. And you, Sam, thank you, as always, to you guys for listening. To remind you, your deadline is on Saturday, 1:30. My favourite thing about this script is Sam has put that it's 1:30 a.m.
Oh, my God.
It's actually 1:30 p.m.
I can't
We're not
do
getting
maths.
Up in the middle
and
of the night.
And I can't work out the clock,
you're
apparently.
You're still on US time.
No, because Burnley versus Brentford, Luton versus Nottingham Forest aren't at 3 a.m. They're at 3 p.m. There's no early kickoff on Saturday, of course. So just get your team sorted by 1:30 p.m. A reminder again of the FPL Pod Mini League code. It's IB3WLK. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday morning. Then the podcast Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. In the hot seat this week, it's Az and Oscar. And we'll be back with you next Thursday. The best of luck. See you then. Bye.